Hi everyone. We're excited about entering this. It feels like we're just starting with Joshua, although I think we've had a few sessions here with Joshua. Did you guys do any of Joshua last week? Remember teaching?
We recap chapter one.
Okay, wonderful. Awesome. So there's so much here, and I have to tell you, we talked about this again today as we've sort of struggled with, had an internal struggle with how in depth we should get with every, quote unquote battle. Some of these battles are more battle-like than others, and some are truly just a battle of the spirit, or a battle of circumstance, or a battle of their particular direction. There were so many sort of true battles with the title battle, and then there are so many battles that are sort of a little more not in your face battles, like not sticks and stones, right? But different kinds of battles. And today we're not crossing the Jordan today. We're just on the edge of the Jordan today. And we kind of want to talk a little bit about what happened to get them to the place where they were getting ready to cross the Jordan, and the report that came there. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we're going to talk about sort of them standing at the cusp of the Jordan and the direction that they received before crossing over. And then next week we'll talk about the crossing a little bit more. But this is the preparation for the crossing, if you will. Okay, so part one today.
All right. So last week, if you recall, we talked about not last week, the week before, we talked about Rahab, and it was we called this a battle for the Lord because God is after the lost. Whoever the lost is, God is after them. Whether it's the Samaritan woman, whether it was Rahab, whether it's the nations, whatever it is, God is after every lost soul because we are all His creation, His children. He did not create us to be lost. He did not create us to be perished. He created us to give us life and life more abundant. And that's what Jesus came to do. So we saw that in the battle of for the Lord, for Rahab, God is fighting for her. God is after her. And then after the two spies come back, it says in verse 23, then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely, listen to this, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." Okay, so before we start anything, I don't know why I just felt that right now. I want us to stretch our hand and give you that promise. I want to give you that promise, and I want you to have your hands ready to receive it from God. You have been, and I have been for the longest time, receiving bad report after another. We have been receiving disappointment news after another. We have been receiving things from the enemy after one after another. But the Lord, when one of your brothers or sisters can see what God has for you in the Word of God, when they can see what God has for you, that abundant life that we're talking about, I want you to receive that promise. The Lord has surely given the whole land into your hands. All the people are melting in fear because of you. And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness. So the Lord has given you, as you're receiving, as you have your hands open right now, the Lord has given you His promises. The Lord has given you His peace. The Lord has given you His joy. The Lord has given you His comfort. The Lord has given you His success. The Lord has given you His sonship and daughtership. The Lord has given you, healing. The Lord has given you that abundant life that He promised. Can you receive that today?
Amen.
Can you receive that report? Because it's so easy for us to receive bad reports and believe it right away. Sometimes we don't even receive bad reports. We think we received bad reports and believe it right away. Mm-hmm. Someone said something, I think Pastor Al just shared this a few weeks ago. 96 or 98% of our fears don't actually happen, don't even come to reality, you know, but we know how to sniff bad news and just act on it right away. Mm-hmm. But here it is, the word of God, the word of the living God, the word of the Almighty God, who's sovereign, who's almighty, who's in control of everything, is telling you that the Lord has surely given you his whole promises, all of his promises. Mm-hmm. He wants to give that to you. Would you open your hands and take it? Would you open your heart today and take these promises? If you compare this report to the one that was in Numbers 13, what's number 13? If you go to Numbers 13, 26, you will see that Moses sent spies to spy on the land. He sent 12 people. 10 of them said, absolutely, they said great things about the land. They said, the land does flow with milk and honey. The land, look at the fruit. Like, you can't even hold the grapes or the water. Like, you can't. They're so big, you know. You can't even carry them. But they said, we cannot take this land. That's a report that came from other spies. Two other people said, no, we can go up and take it, you know. And then when the people heard that bad report, they started weeping. They started crying. They started, like, you know, complaining, why did we even come here? And look at the difference. Write that down. Numbers 13, 26. Okay? Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 26, all the way to 33. Just read it on your own time, okay? And see what a difference of a report it makes. What a difference a look of faith would make, you know? Two people came, believed the word of God, came, delivered it. Joshua and the rest of the people got it. Let's move. And then on the other side, right, in Numbers, you know, years before that, they came into him and they said, they came to Moses and they said, no, we can't do this. They brought devastation. They brought sadness and sorrow to everyone. I want you in Jesus' name today, in Jesus' name, as you opened, and I hope you did, open your hand to receive those promises from God. I want you to receive filter of the news, okay? We need to have that filter system, you know? You know how you're going into the airport and you go through the gate to make sure that you don't have guns or anything, like there's that security gate, you know? And at any, like you're going to the court or banks or whatever, you know, they have this. But when you're going to the airport, it's like, and especially for me, they always find a way to get me that extra check. I don't know why, you know, but they always find a way to give me that random check every single time. And that's extensive. Like, they go and they want to make sure that my whole body swiped, like there's nothing. I want us to do the same exact thing with every report that we get. I want us to put it on that, you know, machine. If there is anything in that machine that does not look godly, refuse it, reject it, arrest it, and capture it and give it to God. Okay? If it's godly, then yes, you can go ahead and walk in. If it's not from God, you don't belong here. You're out. You know, so that's the first thing that we want to talk about today. I want to really leave you with this. Not only the blessings, not only the report that God has for you, that surely the Lord has given you his promises. Surely, say that over someone next to you. Say that over yourself right now. Surely the Lord has given you his promises. You know, and the enemy and the kingdom of darkness is in fear because of you. You know, Sandra, Dahlia, Pastor Mike, everyone on the call, the second you realize that God has given you his promises, the second realize that it's not because of how good you are or how bad you are, it's because of he is good. The second you realize that grace that God has given you right now, guess what? The whole kingdom of the darkness, the whole kingdom of the enemy is trembling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so take that promise, receive it, and then anything else, filter it. Make sure it goes from one scan to another. Act like that report is a Middle Eastern report, you know, going through the airport. Have it go through every gate and every possible scan that it can go through. If it's not from God, that's out. If it's God, then it's yours and take it.
I had my very first boss at UCLA was a genius of a man, a double PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology, had been the inventor of a very renowned type of imagery. And his wife received the news some time ago that she had colorectal cancer. And it was pretty advanced. I believe it was like stage 3 at that point when she'd received it, the news. Their physician at the time sat down with them and said, you know, what physicians do, right? They give you a report. And depending on the physician you're speaking to, the report can be different. It can sound different. And he was speaking to a man who worked at the same institution, who was a very intelligent man, was going to understand what he's saying to him. And what he said to him was this: this is not good news. I need you to understand that. We're going to do everything we can, but there's about a 30 to 40% chance for her to survive this. Long term, in 15 years, there's a 30 to 40% chance. You know, because he had so much information about disease in general, that could have been a very disappointing report to him. But he tells me, as he recalls it, by the way, now 30 years later, and she's doing great, has not had a reoccurrence of cancer. But when he heard this report, he's not a man of faith, but he knows about God, you know. He said, when he said that to me, I said, oh, that's pretty good. 30 to 40%. She's going to be one of those 30 to 40%. He looked at that number, not through the eyes of the 70% likelihood that she wasn't going to make it. He thought, oh yeah, that my wife is going to be the 30%. He knew that. He felt it. He filtered it, as Assam said, through that lens. And so may we be that people. That's what happened with the people here, right? There was a whole different, not that much had changed, but their view of what was in the land had changed. They came back with a different view. And you can hear the exact same news two different ways, right? You can get the same bit of information in two different ways, and it'll invoke different reactions in you. And so, like Assam said, let's put on that filter, that heavenly filter, that when news does come and it's not great, because it will, it's life, and news comes and sometimes it's not great, that we filter it through the lens of Jesus, through the eyes of the Lord that says, surely I have given you the whole land. And so I don't know about you, I'm going to write that on my chalkboard. I have a chalkboard in the bathroom. I'm going to write that on my chalkboard. Remind myself of that.
And not only the filter of receiving, but also the filter of speaking.
Yeah.
You know, just know that your words do have power and do have authority over people. Okay. Again, go back to Numbers 13 and you'll see what 10 people caused thousands, maybe millions of people to feel. Only 10 people. Caused millions of people to feel miserable, to feel hopeless, to feel like it's over. So in Jesus' name, let's filter the things we say about one another or to one another.
Amen.
Let's filter the words that we use. Let's filter the reports we give on one another. Let's filter the things we say to one another specifically.
Amen.
And when you're saying something, are you saying what God has in mind? or what the enemy has in mind.
Right.
Because there is no in between. Good.
Okay, so we're going to start reading in chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read until verse 8. I don't think we're going to get to verse 8 today, but we're going to read through verse 8. They now have the promise, right? They now have the directive, the good report. They can go. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out to Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark, and do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, this is verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went on ahead. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. So just a couple of things about the Jordan. There's so much here, by the way. There's so much meat for us to chew on here. And I think we're going to take the next couple of weeks, maybe even more than that, to talk about this, because this is a very significant battle for the people of Israel. But why is the Jordan crossing? Why was this such a difficult issue? Well, there were some sort of geographical sort of issues with the environment and the weather at the time. At the time, it's spoken of that the Jordan, the Jordan was flooding. So it had increased in width and increased in depth at the time. So it was a very turbulent water at this time. This wasn't like sort of a still, you know, river where nothing was happening. This had swollen, probably extended past its edges, past the edge of the river, at least most people believe 5 feet in both directions, maybe 10 in each direction. So we were talking about now a width of maybe that went from 80 feet to maybe 100 or even 110 feet in width. And the depth that maybe would have normally been 6 to 7 feet was now probably about 10 feet in depth. And this, again, this wasn't like a still Jordan. It was turbulent. Also, around this time in history, there were definitely creatures that we maybe do not encounter now, species that are extinct, that were living in the water. Many theologians have sort of studied this in detail. If you've ever seen pictures of the Jordan, it's not a clear river. It's pretty murky. And so you're asking these people to cross in turbulent waters that are not clear, that are deep. Likely the majority of these people did not know how to swim. This is very important. This isn't us that go to aquatic centers, you know, on the weekend. These are likely the vast majority of these people did not know how to swim. So crossing a river like this is almost a preposterous, you know, thing for God to ask. The Jordan in the Word of God is symbolic. It represents freedom and deliverance. It represents freedom of the past and deliverance. And all throughout God's word, you sort of see the symbolism of spiritual breakthrough that the Jordan holds. And so when the people of God are being asked to cross this Jordan, it kind of, when we get a picture of sort of what it is, it makes you understand why God said to Joshua, what did he say? Be strong and courageous and what? And do not fear. There was a reason why he had to say that. That was not just sort of like a, hey, just saying it to give you warm vibes. There were scary things that were going to be ahead of them.
So in verse 1, it says here that Moses, hold on, sorry. Early in the morning, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went onto the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. Shittim was not really a good place for the Israelites. It actually held some bad memories for them. One of the stories there that when the people of Israel went after the daughters of Moab, and they committed like really horrible sexual sins there, and God was very angry with them that 24,000 people died in a plague or like because of a virus. It's not really a good, pleasant place. It's not good, pleasant memories. And this is a good place to leave and to leave for good, you know, to leave for good and to go into the Jordan where we're having the break, where God is going to give us, Dina said, the breakthrough. Remember, the Jordan, to cross the Jordan, you kind of have to go down and up again, right? And you can take this as a metaphor. You can take this as a picture of baptism, or you can take this as a picture of dying with Christ and then rising again, or being raised again as a new creation. You can take a picture of leaving that life behind and going through getting the breakthrough you've been waiting for. However, leaving Shittim is very significant. Leaving these places of bad memories, leaving these places of sins, leaving all these places and sitting out to Shittim is always a great place to start. And then it says, after three days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. The officers are going to the people, giving instruction to the people, right? See, Joshua, we talked about this in the first or second study, is Joshua didn't want to do it all by himself. You know, he appointed people to do their job while he's doing his job. So right now, the officers are going from one place to another to deliver a message. The message is, get ready, we are leaving. Get ready, we are leaving. I pray for you and myself today that when God gives you a message, please deliver it. Please deliver it. You know, you don't know what could happen if you do not deliver that message on the other side. I say this not to give glory to man or to anyone, but you have no idea how many people on this call sent a song or sent a prayer or sent a verse that came to us or came to me personally right on time, like literally right on time. Something that I was struggling with, something that I was about to make a wrong decision, something that I needed to hear, an encouragement, a promise, something that happened where God delivers his word right on the dot. And it was used by someone, you know, from this church, or one of my friends who would send me a verse. So if God is giving you something, if God puts something on your heart, please share it right away. Mm-hmm. And then it says, when you see the Ark of Covenant of the Lord your God. The Ark of Covenant, just to let you know what it was, it's like a box almost that had the Ten Commandments inside of it. Okay, so it was very much a picture of the presence of God, because the word of God was inside that Ark of Covenant. Okay, the Israelites took it everywhere they went. Okay, if they were going to war, they're taking the Ark of Covenant. If they're going, you know, to cross the Jordan or going one place to another, they're taking it with them. So now we see Joshua who's speaking to the people. We see spies that went to spy on the land. We see the officers that are going to tell the people the good news. We see the Levitical priests who are holding the Ark of Covenant. Do you see how many positions and how many jobs that are being held in this? You know, there's so many things. There's so many ways to participate. It wasn't Joshua by himself, right? Mm-hmm. It was Joshua. It was the spies. It was the officers. It was the Levitical priests. It was so many people getting involved together, led by God to bring those promises to his children, to bring his people to the promised land. So this is really good for you and for myself to meditate. Lord, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. You have a job for me in your kingdom. You have a job for me in your church. What is it that you want me to do? Is it that you want me to carry your word somewhere to someone? Is it you want me to go speak a word to someone? Is it that you have a revelation for me that I can go deliver? Is it for me to go and try to bring people out of the enemy? What is it, enemy of darkness? What is it that you have for me, Lord? Because you definitely created me for a purpose and you have a job for me.
Something that's really important to note here is that God gave a word to Joshua about them being ready to cross. Joshua then sends people over to check it out. A good report comes back. There's that's further confirmation that they're in God's will here. I mean, not that he needed it. He heard from the Lord himself, but he had a lot of confirmation that they were in God's will. Would you agree? Yes. And then what happens? Hang out outside of the Jordan for 3 days. Just, you know, get yourself ready. You know, that's a lot to ask when someone's been waiting for 40 years and you just gave them the green light, the go ahead. You're about to enter the land. And this is now another time of waiting because God had preparation to be done. There were things that had to be put in order. And isn't that difficult for us? I can speak for myself that there are many times in my life I can think of that I feel like I heard from the Lord about something. And I'm like really anxious to like, let's go. Okay, I'm ready. You want me to start this ministry or you want me to do this thing or whatever it is, follow this particular path and you're ready to go. And there's like a pause, this pause that's happening. Because God has something more in the preparation, not quite ready. He's given us insight, prepared us enough to know. And that must have been a challenging 3 days for the people because finally they've got the green light to go ahead. They've got the leader. They've got everything going. But you know, this is something that a good friend of mine told me years ago. They said, the right purpose at the wrong time is the wrong purpose. You can have the right purpose, the right plan, but if it's the wrong time, then it becomes the wrong plan. It has to be the right purpose and the right time. Those two things have to come together. It's like picking a fruit off of a tree before it's ripe. That fruit is going to be eaten. It's going to be delicious and really great. But if I pick it off of the tree before it's ripe, useless, completely useless and horrible and will make me sick. But if I am patient and I wait until that fruit is ripe and I take it off of the tree and eat it, it's going to be delicious and it's going to be really good for me.
And then it says, move from your position and follow it. You see God's presence, follow it and go after it. This is going to get really good right now. In verse 4, it says, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. This is really good. And when I saw it, I was like, Lord, I needed this so much today. Because a lot of people, a lot of us go through those seasons or this period of times, Lord, what to do next? What is your will? What do you want me to do? What I can't think of what to do and all of that. It's very simple here. It says, move you from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. You know, you want to know what God's will in your life is? It's very simple. Read the word of God and follow God. I don't know what else I can tell you. I know that you're trying to see which job to take and which house to move into or which this or which that. There is no way for me to tell you that. I don't know. But here's what I know and what worked for us. What worked for us and what I know very well is follow God. Follow the word of God. Find the word of God. Meditate on it. Follow it. And be in the presence of God, and he will lead you. It says it here. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been in this place before. I don't know. I have not been into tomorrow. Have you been into tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Have you been into next week? No? Have you? Do you know what tomorrow looks like? I have no idea what tomorrow looks like. I have not been there. I have not been what next week looks like. You know what? I don't care about what it looks like. What I care about is where God is. Mm-hmm. You know, and where God is, I'm following him. Then he will show me the way. Then he will take me to where I'm supposed to go. Leave what you think, you know, because it's the new life that you have not experienced in the past. One of the biggest obstacles that we have in our Christian walk is that just as we operated in the past and we lived our life with our own desires, we walk into our Christian life and we think, oh, we're going to do the same. No, this is a completely new life. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know if tomorrow's blessing is going to be in the picture of pain or in the picture of joy. You don't know what tomorrow's blessing will be in a picture of God giving you something or taking something away from you. I don't know. It's all orchestrated by God for a good purpose. We don't know what will tomorrow look like. We don't know that new place we're going to. But here it is. He told us to keep our eyes on him. And as long as we are keeping our eyes on him, everything will be fine.
You know, there's this whole 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. You see that in verse 4, it says, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark and don't go near it. And 2,000 cubits is about 3/4 of a mile. It's a long way. I mean, they were staying sort of on the outskirts here of the Jordan. And the request here was, stay about 3/4 of a mile away from the ark. So essentially, so that you don't want a crowd in front of that ark. It's going to be chaos. We're talking about hundreds and thousands. I don't know. Was it like a million people that crossed? Like a lot of people that are trying to cross. You don't want to get too close to the ark. Then it's going to crowd it. And crowd that space and really can cause like trampling and all kinds of stuff. You want the ark to be out there in the horizon. You can see it. You can see it out there and follow it. Look, I'm sure there's a lot of like theological insight into this, but just from a like logistical perspective, from the perspective that I would imagine in that place, I think it was such a wise thing to say to the people. It was so wise to say, hey, you see God's presence right there going ahead of you? Go and follow it. But just make sure you can see it. Because if you're under it, maybe crowded under it, or you start to want to get ahead of it because the waters are getting turbulent, whatever it might be, you want to just keep it in your focus. Keep it in your horizon. Make sure that as God's presence goes, so do you. And that's a really great tool for me, a really great tool for us, that sometimes, you know, we try to get ahead of what God's doing. We try to, we're anxious and we're ready to go. And God's just like, hey, see where I'm going and follow that. And that also, you know, kind of goes to a lot of other ideas of, sometimes as believers, we try to create our own momentum. We try to create because we feel like we have a word from the Lord about where to go and what to do. And so we're like, yeah, let's get this going. And really, it's a lot of times God just wants us to settle down. Mm. God just wants us to settle down, keep your eyes on where the Spirit of God is leading you, be in His Word, keep the fundamentals together, don't panic, and just follow His path.
In verse 5, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Show that you're serious about that next step. You know, show that you really want those promises. Show that you really want to cross the Jordan. There were actual rituals that you used to have, but for us what the Word of God is telling us, just be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Be holy means that peace be set apart for Him. Be His. You know, not my, our hearts need to be not as divided as it's always been. One part here, one part there, one worshiping this God and worshiping that God. No, it's worshiping one God. So be holy because God is ready. God is ready to do great things in your life. The problem is I'm not giving Him the chance to, you're not giving Him the chance to. But Joshua here is telling them, be holy. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Holiness comes with a price, you know, giving up something, you know. So if there is something that you feel like stopping you from that standing between you and God, that thing needs to go. That needs got to go bye-bye. If there is an idol in your life or my life, that's got to go. We can sit here and talk about God's love and mercy and grace all day long, but if you are holding on to an idol, if you're holding on to something that's unholy, that is stopping you from the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. That's stopping me from the breakthrough. Joshua doesn't know exactly how the Jordan will be crossed. He doesn't know what will happen. He doesn't know if the sea will be split open. We don't know. All what he knows is that if you do that, the Lord will do amazing things among you. I don't know either. I don't know what will happen tomorrow to my life or to your life. I don't know what God's plan is. I really don't know. All I know is that God has only amazing and great things for all of us. I know that the second we show a sign of holiness, the second we start giving up certain things that we've been holding on for a long time, God is ready to do and to show us amazing things. Then in verse 6, really quick, it says, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. See, Joshua himself cannot touch the Ark of Covenant. Okay, he is not allowed to even touch it, but he can ask someone who can. You know, you don't have to do everything on your own. If there is something that your brother or your sister can do better, and God has given them that gift, God was giving those priests that job to go and take the Ark of Covenant. It's not Joshua's job. Matter of fact, again, he was not even allowed to touch it. It was their job. So God spoke to him. He went to them humbly, and they started leading the way. The priests who were carrying the Word of God moved ahead and led the people using the Word of God. The priests did exactly what Joshua had asked them to do. Mm. You know, this is very significant here. You know, Joshua is not trying to prove anything to anyone. And the priests are not trying to prove anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. There is a spirit of unity, spirit of knowledge of, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is your job. This is my job. At the end of the day, we're all working as one body for God.
Amen.
We'll end at 6 today.
Yeah, I think we'll stop here at 6 today. And just open the floor a little bit to chat and maybe go over some questions.
So here, just to summarize really quick, we started with chapter 2, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 1. And we talked about the good report and having a filter to capture every report, every word, every thought that we get. was this from God or not? But not only a filter to receive, but also a filter to give. The second thing is, we talked about how Joshua was ready to obey. He was ready to go and act on what he just heard from God. Today, I really hope that you opened your hands with me and received those promises for God, that surely God has given you these promises. So if God is giving you these promises, act like you have them. Act like you own it. Act like you do have self-control. Act like you do have freedom. Act like you do have it, because you do have it. And then just following God wherever he goes. We do not have to figure this out on our own. God did not ask us ever to figure this out on our own. He said, the officers will go before you, and they will, the Ark of Covenant will go before you, then you will know which way to go. Okay? So God is not trying to put you in the desert and, hey, go figure it out. No. He's trying to tell you, follow me. Follow the word of God. And then also, there is a job for everyone. There's a job for the officers. If you have a word from God, deliver. There is a job for the priests. If you can carry the word of God, carry it. There is a job for Joshua when he had this revelation and delivered it. Go ahead and deliver it. If you're a spy and you're going to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness, go ahead and do it. There is a job for every single one of us.
All right. So with that, we thought maybe we can chat a little bit about a couple things. So have you ever been given a bad report that changed your outlook or view? Or the other way around, have you ever been given a good report about something maybe that was kind of bad and that changed your outlook and view? So unmute yourselves, share any testimonies you might have about receiving reports and what those are like. I don't mind the silence, but our viewers on YouTube might.
Can I ask like a question? I don't know.
Of course, please.
Reading to the Bible, maybe. Well, I had two actually, but you answer one explaining. I was gonna ask about, why did they have to wait 3 days? But then you already told us that we're waiting for the right time, right?
Yeah, there were things that God specifically had for them to do during those 3 days. Also, 3 is the number for
death and resurrection.
Yeah, so there's symbolism in that as well, in the 3 days. But God really had a purpose for them in those 3 days. So yes, what was the other question?
Those 3 days did, because I was reading that chapter, in those 3 days, did God told Joshua, or Joshua just, those 3 days was just to wait for the right moment, right?
Yeah, I don't think God specifically said 3 days, did he? Maybe in chapter 1.
I think Joshua was being moved by God and by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And he was aligning. And as Dina said, the number 3 is very significant. And especially in this area, we're talking about death and resurrection. If you remember the death and the crucifixion and what Jesus said, that after 3 days, I will arise. And crossing the Jordan is very much a spiritual meaning or a metaphor of us dying to ourselves and arising with Christ, you know. So this is the symbolism. I didn't want to get into that today. I was going to get into it next week, but this is the symbolism. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. The symbolism of crossing the Jordan after, you know, or waiting for those 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay. And why did they tell them when they were about to cross the river just to stay there, or just for the people just to wait. I mean, you know, wait like 20 cubits. Is that what you said?
2,000
cubits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was just like seeing myself there, you know. Am I going to be able to see it?
I know, it's a far distance. I was thinking the same thing, but you know, the instruction here is that the Levitical priests would get to the edge of the river and stand
holding the Ark
of the Covenant and wait right at the edge. Everybody else is 2,000 cubits behind, right? 2,000 cubits behind. So the idea is that the presence of God has to get into the space first before anybody starts making their way there. We're going to find out later why that is, right? Okay. Because what happens, I mean, not to ruin the story for you, but they end up crossing on dry land. It's a miracle is about to take place. God has a purpose in that.
Yeah.
God didn't want his people to drown as they're going through the Jordan, because that was literally what was, I mean, when I stopped to think about it, the kind of faith they had to have to go through this again. Now, but remember, they had seen that God had done this in the Red Sea. I mean, it was a whole generation before, mm-hmm. but they'd seen that God had done this in the Red Sea, but the kind of faith they had to have just to kind of stand there and wait, and then
just wait.
God creates this miracle. His spirit is what leads the miracle, which we'll talk about next week. I hope we're going to cross next week.
Well, thank you.
Like my wife say, I got like a couple of questions, but you already give me the answer. So I mean, I don't have anything.
It's okay. Talk about that.
My curiosity is how the spy doing with they crossing. They have to cross in the Jordan River to spy.
The land, the mm-hmm. yeah.
How they crossing? I mean, they got a boat.
They're
swimming.
It's two people. It's different than million. You know,
couple. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It says it actually in. I just read it. They went down out of the hills, forded the river.
Here. They forded the river. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Forded the river.
I don't know. Let's look it up. Pastor Al, do you have any insight on how the two spies crossed? No, this is such a good question. Thank you. That's the Bible study.
I do not. I've often thought about it, but I'm not really sure.
Here, what does forded the river mean?
Yeah.
So it just means, it means to cross a body of water by wading. So they like waded through the river. Wow.
Swam?
Yeah. But not swam to wade the water is like, you know, you've done it. It's all you do in the water. All you do in water is wade.
Like a shark in the water.
So they forded the river. That means they waded through the water, which, wow, that must have been something. But it was two people. Maybe they learned how to do this.
Yeah.
At some point, I imagine, I don't know, could you think they had any like thing to hang on to?
Probably.
Yeah. That's a really good question. Gosh, I'd love to learn more about that. Thank you for that.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Either questions, or we can talk about
or comments,
specifics or comments, anything you have to say.
No, I like what you said about filtering the things that come to you, I saw. That takes a certain kind of discipline. And it's not an easy thing. It doesn't come naturally to people, right? Like, you just kind of process what you hear, you process what you think, and we don't take a whole lot of time to filter those thoughts or those ideas. What are some practical things that you've done? Because we all get them, right? So what are some practical things that you've done to help you filter out truth from lies, God's word from the enemy's voice, and so on?
Well, for me, one of the things I do is that does that report align with who God is? You know, if that report is coming with condemnation and discouragement and
death
and all of that, then I know that's not God. You know, I know God doesn't speak that way. You know, God sometimes disciplines, and I have no problem with discipline. You know, but with that discipline, there is usually encouragement, and there is usually hope, and there is a purpose of my discipline. You know, that I want to make you better. It's not that I want to break you. No, I want to make you better. So, that's the first thing I think about. Does this report align with the word of God and who God is to my life or not? In my life and my experience with God. Does this align with God or not? And that's why it's very important to be in the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not as easy. It's not as easy to be tricked when I know the word of God. I know who God is. I know what he thinks towards me. I know his thoughts towards me, towards my future, towards who I am. And if a report is coming against that, then we'll be able to spot it. You'll be able to spot it. And in terms of the reports we give, that's the harder one, because sometimes we just keep saying things without any caution. And we just keep saying things that could hurt people around us without knowing. You know, we might not mean to, but it's still hurtful. I know I've done that several times, many, many times, where I said things that were hurtful to someone without meaning it. But you know what? That's not an excuse. If I have the wisdom of God and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be giving these reports to anyone.
I just want not to like brag on him or anything, but I'm not doing that. It's really the Spirit of God in him. But Assam has a gift in this area. He's gifted in this area. People have said, you know, the way the world describes it is he's so optimistic, is what I hear all the time. He's such an optimist. He has such a positive view on life. And really, he turns on that filter all the time. I'm not as good at it, honestly. But he's really, really good at that, where we can both hear the exact same thing. I'm not even kidding. This happens all the time, where we both hear the exact same thing. And I'm immediately going to like the worst case scenario, what might be, how it could happen, the reality of things, because I'm a doer, you know, I'm like a give it to me and I'll fix it. And so when I hear a problem, all I'm thinking about are all the things that are going to stand in the way of getting to that problem, where Assam sees it as an opportunity almost all the time. It's just, it's really remarkable. And it's, I don't think it's a personality issue. I think he's trained himself to kind of do that all the time. So.
Sounds like the Bible verse that says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that takes a discipline and practice, does it not?
A lot of practice.
It's not something that you can just do overnight.
I wish.
And then you mess up a lot and you're like, hey, yeah, that was a mess up. Let's try this again. I'll have another opportunity to do this.
But this is key, because like thoughts are thrown at you all day long. You know, the enemy's throwing thoughts your way. You're throwing thoughts your own way. The world through media and whatnot is throwing thoughts your way. It's like you got to sit there and filter what's good, what's holy versus what's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very important. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, the last question that we have, and this is a question, maybe you can think about it and we can discuss it next week. And this has to do with verses at the end of 3 and 4. And it has to do with, have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt like, what's next? What will tomorrow bring? This is a whole subject that we can spend days and days discussing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. You know, think about that and think about your own life and how maybe the word of God was able to guide you. I'm telling you this, like we've made some of the most important decisions in our lives, okay? After a prayer meeting or after a Bible study or during something like, you know, or while I'm reading the Word of God, something. I'm not talking about just spiritual decisions. I'm talking about like buying a house or marrying someone or a car or a business or whatever it is, or like a school. You know, we have had some of the most important decisions in our life, you know, if not all of them, based on the Word of God. We messed up a lot. We were lost a lot. But every time that question came, what should we do? What should we? It, the Word of God has always had an answer to it. So think about that. We'll revisit it again next week. Bring some answers and or follow-up questions to it. But just like what it says here, then you will know which way to go. Then you will know which way to go. This is the question, Lord, which way should I go? Is it this house or this house? Is it this business or this business? Is it this relationship or this relationship? Is it this neighbor or this neighbor? Is it this word or this? No. What is it, Lord? It says it here clearly. Then you will know which way to go, since you have not been this way before. God knows you haven't been there before. God knows that you're in a place where you're confused. God knows all of it, but he will show you the way. As long as your eyes are on the Word of God, as long as your eyes are on the presence of God, he will show you the way.
Amen.
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 All right, amen. Everyone. Thank you. That was great discussion. Great. Thank you for those great questions and provoked us to talk and think. And that was great. Maybe we'll cross the Jordan next week. We hope.
Moving floaters.
It'll just be us on next week. I'm out of town next week, so Assam's gonna cross the Jordan.
Why are you doing it like that?
All right,
she can't swim.
Better than you. Okay.
It's so true.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Assam, you want to pray?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so, so very much for who you are. We thank you so much for loving us the way you do, Lord. We thank you so much for being with us the way you do, Lord. We thank you so much for your word that is full of treasures, full of good things, full of, Lord, life for us, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, because your words are always good reports for us. And I thank you so much, Lord, for delivering that word. Lord, I pray for everyone today to open their hands and to open their hearts and receive that surely, surely you have given them your promises. Surely you have given them, Lord, given us, Lord, the abundant life that you meant for all of us, Lord. And help us today to keep our eyes on you. Help us today, Lord, to not go away from your word, but to meditate on it day and night, Lord, that we would engrave it on our hearts in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would do what it says, that we would follow it and keep our eyes focused on you. Whether it's a storm, whether it's a war, whether it's a battle, whatever it is, Lord, we help us to keep our eyes on you. Jesus. I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are so faithful, that are always coming before you to learn from you. I pray that you would bless them. I pray in Jesus' name that you would write your word on their heart. I pray that they would hide your word in their hearts, Lord, so that they would not sin against you. Lord, we thank you again for today, and we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your guidance in Jesus' mighty name.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Good seeing you.
Bye.
Everyone.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.